Zoe George, this week's sportscaster. And since we started that song, New Zealand scored an extra run and hasn't lost any further wickets in the test match in India. Zoe, are you keeping track on the game yourself?
I certainly am. Ross Taylor is in now with Kane Williamson. I thought Tom Latham did all right with 52. He carried his bat well, and particularly in the first innings as well. I think he scored well into the 90s. So, you know, I really like him as an opener. But having Williamson and Taylor there, you know, they're a very solid partnership. So hopefully it would be great to see them have a bit of a swing and go for it, because we've actually only got about 34 overs left in the game. So we don't have to hold on too much longer. And it's totally possible. We need 165 runs to win. We can totally do it.
I like your positivity. All right, we might come back to that later on. Now, I wanted to ask you first about cycling, because I know you and Dana Johansson worked together on this story about New Zealand cycling at the Olympic Games. And it was such a mixed, because there were some great results in the velodrome for New Zealand, and then there was the awful tragedy back home of former New Zealand representative Olivia Podmore and her suicide. And I guess you can't necessarily relate the two, but you know, I mean, one of the questions that came up was the sporting culture. How supportive was New Zealand cycling of those who didn't make the team? And now, what's this thing about them not following the rules over in Tokyo? Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, so the high performance boss, Martin Barras, has resigned following an integrity breach at the Tokyo Olympics. It came to light back in September after Cycling New Zealand chief executive Jacques Landry was alerted to a possible breach. And so the New Zealand Olympic Committee commissioned high profile lawyer Don McKinnon to undertake an investigation. They found that the process to replace an athlete during a cycling event at Tokyo had not been conducted according to the International Olympic Committee rules. So that puts Cycling New Zealand in breach of its own code of conduct, but also in their participation agreements with the NZOC and IOC.
Can I ask what were they supposed to do, and what did they do instead?
Yeah. So teams, what happens is that when you go to the Olympic Games, you're able to take reserve riders, but once start lists are submitted, changes can only be made in a case of injury or illness. And it's understood that Cycling New Zealand misled Tokyo officials on that front. What we understand is that the rule breach related to the replacement of Sam Dakin in the men's sprint team event. He was replaced by Callum Saunders in the final round of the sprint, a premeditated move engineered to ensure that Saunders was able to also race in the Kieran event. So that's kind of what happened with the integrity breach. Obviously, there will be lots more to come. Staff also understands that sprint coach Renee Wilf has also resigned, but Cycling New Zealand have yet to confirm that. There have been several resignations in the last week, including the CEO, Jacques Landry. So I imagine there may be more.
Was it... I'm just trying to get my head around. Was it an attempt to get an advantage for a particular event, or were they just trying to give one of their competitors a chance at two goes at winning a medal?
Well, this is it, right? But I don't think it was about... Well, it had nothing to do with our medalists anyway. But it just meant that he raced... that Saunders could race in the Kieran event as well as this. By having him in the sprint event, it meant that he could race in the Kieran event too. So, but I think there'll be a lot more questions to come. At the moment, you know, the sport is currently going through an independent inquiry that was set up after the death of Olivia Podmore, which we were on air that night. I don't know if you remember, Brian.
Yes, I do remember.
I remember it very clearly. And with that inquiry, that's led by Mike Kieran, who did an investigation into cycling back in 2018, and leading academic for women in sport, Sarah Lieberman. There's also a couple of others in that as well. And so they were originally meant to have draft findings from that inquiry in before Christmas. But because of all the COVID restrictions that have been happening in the Waikato, where the Cycling New Zealand's centralised program is they haven't been able to get up and see people face to face and do interviews. So now we're expecting a draft of the inquiry in about early February. And I imagine that selection will be part of it. There have been issues raised about selection in the past. Last year in August 2020, the Athletes Voice Committee, which was also facilitated by the CEO, Jacques Landry, raised the issue of clearer guidelines around selection and the processes around that and clearer communication. So this has been an ongoing issue, and I imagine it will be something that the inquiry will address.
I guess I can, I mean, was going back to the integrity breach, whether it was a deliberate attempt to gain an unfair advantage or whether it was just really clumsy?
They fudged the paperwork, to put it it nicely. I mean, there are worse things that you can do in fudging paperwork. But again, what they did was they breached the rules, and the rules are the rules. And that's what the Minister for Sport said last week as well, when we spoke to him about it. The rules are the rules. They know better, and they're expected to stick to the rules. Those rules apply to everyone, no exceptions. So I think there'll be more to come on this story and in cycling in general as the inquiry continues. Also, don't forget that we also have a coronial inquiry happening as well, parallel to the independent inquiry that was set up by Cycling New Zealand and High Performance Sport New Zealand. Now, we're not too sure where that is at, but we understand it's going to take some time, possibly years, to really get to the bottom of what happened with Olivia. But only time will tell. So keep watching this space. There'll be more on this in the coming weeks.
New Zealand scored another run in the cricket and hasn't lost a wicket.
Yay!
There you go. Keeping you up to date. Now, I want to talk about this 20 over a side stuff, because it's the New Zealand season, domestic season, has started. And if you're a Wellington fan, it's had been a great start.
Yes, it certainly has. Both the men's and women's teams beat Canterbury. Wellington is the kind of the only team I support. Sorry, I mean, my dad will be mortified because I grew up in Central Districts and supported CD for a long time, but I'm Wellington through and through now. And it's great to see them doing so well, particularly the women. They're without Sophie Devine at the moment, who played in the women's Big Bash and led the Scorchers to a Big Bash victory on the weekend, which is very exciting. And so now she has to try and navigate MIQ to come back to play in New Zealand. But it's I'm really looking forward to seeing them at their first game at the Basin Reserve on Sunday. It should be really cool. They've got a brand new kit. And one of the things that I like about the Super Smash is that they're double headers. So you kind of get, you get two games for the price of one, which is fantastic. I always go really early so that I'm there to watch the women and cheer them on, and then sometimes stay for the men, sometimes.
Now, Sophie Devine, who was last time we had you on, we were talking about how well she was playing with the Perth Scorchers, and she was the captain of this team. This is the Australian Big Bash, Women's Big Bash. Now, didn't they have the final over the weekend, and the Perth Scorchers were one of the teams? So what happened?
Yeah, they won. They won. So they won by 12 runs against the Adelaide Strikers, which is very exciting. Devine top scored in that game, 35 from 33, and they're 146 for 5. And then she took 1 for 23 off 3 overs, and they claimed their maiden 2020 title, which is super exciting. It's the second season at the club for Devine. She played for the Strikers in the 2019-2020 season. And she was also named the captain of the tournament this year ahead of the final. She's the third highest run scorer with 442 runs from 14 matches, with an average of 34 and a strike rate of 128. How's that for some stats?
And she performed on the big stage this time. No doubts about it this time, right?
Yes, she has. She has. I'm really looking forward to seeing her come in and play in the Super Smash here. But, you know, we've also got preparations for the Cricket World Cup. Last Thursday, that marked 100 days until the Cricket World Cup starts, which is really exciting. And I can announce that I am one of 100 high-profile New Zealanders to be a Cricket World Cup champion. And then we've got community champions as well.
What does that involve? Does that involve another TED Talk?
Ha ha ha! Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? My TED talk went really well, by the way. It was quite funny when we were at the launch. There was about 30 of us at the launch for the Champions the other day, and Liz Dawson, who is the chair of the Cricket World Cup board, mentioned toilets in the changing rooms, and I was like, yes, this is so exciting.
Well, of course she would.
And the new toilets, by the way, at the Basin Reserve, because of COVID, have been pushed back just a little bit.
Oh.
So they're not going to be open in time for the game on Saturday, but hopefully they will be open by the time the Cricket World Cup comes
around.
Yeah,
well, it's still 100 days. There's plenty of time. Heaven knows we might even be having a green light by then, or even a yellow one.
That would be amazing.
Green light,
that
hopefully.
That would be great.
Now, speaking of yellow, Phoenix football, the football season A-League, which in New Zealand and Australia, has started, and the Wellington team, I think they're off to a reasonable start, or did I miss something?
Oh, we're talking about the men. Oh, no.
I'm going to come on to the women in a moment. The men are doing all right. But the women, now, they're playing. Is it the first time there's been a Phoenix women's team, or is it the first time there's been a women's league?
So we've had the women's league previously.
Okay.
But this is the first time that we've got a Phoenix women's team.
But they don't have a sponsor.
No, they don't. They play in 4 days' time, and they still don't have front of shirt sponsors. And it is, it's a little disappointing because now's the time to invest in women's sport. Women's football is one of the largest sports that people watch. The last Women's Football World Cup had an audience of more than 1 billion viewers, and New Zealand is going to be playing host to that tournament in 2023. It's an opportunity for sponsors and corporates to put their money where their mouth is. If they truly believe in equality, then now's the time. I did have a sponsor reach out to me recently to say that they were investing in 50-50 men's and women's teams. I was like, that's amazing. What does that money look like? And it turns out that it wasn't a 50-50 financial split. It was 50% female teams, 50% male teams that they were supporting. So I asked them why that was. Why is more money going to men? And they told me that it was about the market. So we need to change the market. There is, an opportunity here. Women's sport is a growth. If we think about it as like a little startup, we're in a growth market right now. And the stats are continuing to grow. I think the BBC reported recently that more than 80% of sports fans want to watch women's sport. So let's put it out there as the media and broadcasting, and let's put it out there as sponsors, and let's support them. Because if we support them, the fans will support them, and it's kind of it's a secular thing, isn't it? So I really hope that someone does step up. Come on, ANZ. I know that you support and love women's sport. I know that you had, was it a $1.9 billion profit recently that you said? I'm sure you can spare a few million in there.
Does John Key still work for the ANZ? Is he still on the board or whatever?
That's a good question.
He likes his cricket, doesn't he? He loves his cricket.
Loves his cricket.
Yeah, mind you, that's not what we're talking about here. It's football.
No, we're talking about football. But,
slightly larger balls.
The Minister for Sport talked about it this afternoon and said, there has been, the government is even investing in women's sports. They're the ones who, along with the pitching crew for all these World Cups that we've got. Like, we've got three women's World Cups in the next 2 years. We are global leaders when it comes to women's sport and equality in sport. So it would be great if we had sponsors who felt the same way. And I know that they're out there. So please come and join this movement of ours, because it's really important.
Now, you pointed out that in a survey, the BBC found people want to watch more women's sport. Now, here's something I'm pretty confident that people, if they were surveyed, would not say yes to, and this is getting an unsolicited picture of a penis on their mobile phone, right?
Oh, yes, from a cricketer. Yeah.
From even, even if you're a big cricket fan, I don't need to see any of my favourite cricketers' middle stumps. Don't need that.
And I'm sorry, you're not going to bowl a maiden over with one of those
especially
things.
If the angle of the dangle is well above the Mullican tire. Don't want that. Tim Payne, who was the Australian captain, men's captain, he's a polarising figure. He's the one who sledged Ravi Ashwin and said, can't wait to the Gabba, mate. We're going to thrash at the Gabba, and what happens in the next test? This is last year. India win at the Gabba. And poor old Tim Payne put a couple of crucial catches down as well. But, you know, he held on to the Ashes in England and came back, and he's outspoken and sort of good on him for that. He's a competitive fellow, but when did he send this picture? That's the thing. It was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was in 2017, and it was sent to a work colleague of his at Tasmania Cricket. And it was raised.
Were they having a relationship?
No. So he was married, well, is still married, with children, and he apologised to his wife last week when he resigned from being the captain. But no, I mean, and what was, he was messaging her on the eve of, I think it was the last Ashes. So it's just kind of come around at an interesting time. But there were complaints laid at the time by her, and both Cricket Australia and Cricket Tasmania knew about it. They investigated it, said that it didn't breach the code of conduct because they deemed the exchange consensual, but she's described the image as sexually explicit, unwelcome, and unsolicited. So that is the total opposite of consensual. And this receiving unsolicited pictures, you know, I wrote a column about this last week. There's nothing wrong with sexting and sending pictures to one another in a consensual way, but when you send it without consent, it's unsolicited, and unsolicited sexual messages and pictures constitute sexual harassment.
Put it this way, if I was to send a picture of my genitalia to one of my workmates, I would not expect to be able to come to work the next day. You know,
right.
It's yucky.
It is yucky. It's not okay.
It's like mind-boggling that you would think. I mean, it's just one of those things I don't understand. All right, I'm an old man, maybe. You know, these days. Why would you bother? Why would you bother? I mean, if you're in a relationship, yes. But if you're not in a relationship, what the hell? No.
Well, I mean, the senders might be fascinated with their junk, but it doesn't mean we all are. And, you know, I talked about how this kind of aligns with the locker room talk and culture that we still experience in many of our male-dominated sports.
Well, have you had this happen to you, Zoe?
Oh, of course.
Of course
I have.
Really? Of course?
Of course I have. Yeah,
so
yeah.
What do you think? Is this what you expect from us blokes?
No, not at all. I mean, I asked my partner why he doesn't send me dick pics, and he sent me a picture of Richard Nixon, which I thought was quite lovely. I was like, yes, I love him. He's amazing. But, I mean, the thing is, though, I've received them not only messages and photos, but also videos from men associated with sport in New Zealand. And after my story came out last week, I received messages from some of these men. Some of them apologised. And I was like, a little bit too late, but at least it's something. And some others contacted me, not even realizing that they thought that they had done anything wrong. And I found that quite fascinating. But I mean,
When you get these messages, you say, "What the hell are you doing?" I assume that was for somebody else, not me.
Yeah. Or one of my favourites was, much like this woman, I received a message from a guy who was married with children. His wife is pregnant at the time. I received an unsolicited picture, and I said to him, "Would you like me to send this to your wife?"
And what was the response then?
Oh, no, please don't do that. Well, please stop sending me these things. I don't want to see it. I mean, you know. it's not okay. It's not okay, and we should be calling it out. And it's not just women who need to call it out, it's men who need to call it out too, because it is part of that toxic culture that is not only in sport but is in society, and it impacts not only women but also men negatively as well, particularly those whose values do not align with that type of stuff. So I hope the message gets through that if you are considering sending a dick pic to someone, please just ask first. It's not that hard. Until then, don't be a Tim Payne and just keep it in your pants. Yeah,
maybe they think somehow in their delusion that it takes the romance out to ask.
Oh, consent is sexy, okay?
Yeah, good on you, Zoe. No, you're onto it there. Yeah, I don't know. It's like technology meets lack of thought gets a bad result.
But I mean, can you, let's try this. Try applying this 30 years ago, where you'd have to take a photo. You have to get like a Polaroid camera or one of those, you know, cameras that you have to take in to get.
You have to take it down to the chemist and get it developed. And so somebody's going to look at them. That was enough to put a lot of people off. The thought that, you know, the chemist was going to see these photos. Yeah. That was enough to put a lot of people off.
Yeah, absolutely. But consent is the big word here. And it's a word that Cricket Australia and Cricket Tasmania need to look at and to think about seriously. Because, okay, fine, Tim Payne did what he did. But she said that it was not consensual and they did not believe her and did not do something.
So why
about
did it come out? Why did it come out now, Zoe?
Well, it's the ashes, isn't it? Anything can come out during the
ashes. Tim Payne could have just kept it quiet because the authorities had kept it quiet for him. Yeah. Or was this woman feeling that aggrieved and decided to bring it up again because she never got resolution?
No, I mean, the Sydney Morning Herald reported that she did try to get an apology back in 2018 and actively sought one and actively sought for a $40,000 contribution to her legal fees. But she gave up in the end because fighting, you know, the old boys network is hard. What I've been reading, it wasn't her who released this. So I don't know who released it.
Was it a member of the Barmy Army? Was it a British spy?
Maybe. But, you know, I think that it should open a broader conversation about sexual harassment, consent, and how we deal with and approach these types of situations where we are taking a survivor-centered approach. If a woman says that she does not want to receive a dick pic, you know, or if you haven't asked and you've sent her one, well, that's an issue. And it needs to be dealt with properly. And I would hope that if this was to happen in New Zealand, which I don't think it would,
given what you've told me about your own experiences, I'm afraid that it could well happen, couldn't it?
I mean, I can't imagine any of our black caps doing this right now.
Well, I bloody well hope not.
I don't know.
There are 120. There are 123 for three. They haven't been scoring much since we've been talking, by the way.
Oh dear.
Sorry, that was probably not the right word to use there.
I know.
No, it's slow in India at the moment, but they haven't lost any more wickets.
Yay, that's good.
And hopefully not doing anything stupid off the field either.
No, not at all. I wouldn't. I can't imagine that test team, that New Zealand test team, would. They are a wonderful group of men, and you know they're led by Kane Williamson, who is just lovely, lovely, lovely. So I don't imagine anything like that would go down in that team. And if it did, it would be dealt with pretty quickly, I imagine.
Zoe, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Lovely chatting as always,
Zoe George. We'll have her back to talk more about sport. Maybe before Christmas. Might squeeze her in one more time, or maybe early in the new year.